title of the series is Your Job is Your Ministry. Your job is your ministry. If you think about this, you spend a lot of time at work. And I'm here to submit to you that there could be a lot more reasons why you go to work than you think. Not just to pick up a check, which is beneficial and helpful. You need money to live. But could there be some other reasons? And so the first sermon, we simply said that work is a gift. Would you please say that out loud and say, work is a gift. And so we are grateful. Aren't you thankful for your job? Aren't you thankful for the income that God has blessed you with? And so even if it's not your favorite thing, we thank the Lord that we do have jobs. And so if we'll look at it as a gift and not just a toilsome labor, but a gift that God has given, I think our mindset and our attitude might begin to change. And then I said this, that work is an assignment. Would you please say that? Work is an assignment. And so whatever job you have today, if you could look at it as an assignment from the Lord, God has you in a season, in a place so that you can touch people, so that you can minister effectively. And so if we'll view each job that we have as an assignment from the Lord and say, God, why do you have me here? How do you want me to impact people? How do you want me to influence? How do you want me to let my light shine? How do you want me to make a difference? And so work is a gift. Work is an assignment. Today, I want to talk about the fact that work is an opportunity. Would you please say that out loud? Say, work is an opportunity. And this is the fun part. We've talked about how we need to shift our focus, that work is a gift and it's an assignment, but really it's an opportunity. And if you'll start seeing your job as an opportunity, as being able to minister, it really, really gets exciting as you pray for God to open up doors for you. I shared with you before that a Gallup poll said that 85% of people worldwide hate their job. That's unfortunate. And then in the States, it gets a little bit better. 70% of people in the States hate their job. So if you like your job today, you can be thankful because most people actually don't like their job. I found this interesting. This was a Forbes magazine article. It said that 90% of people say work is more a source of frustration than fulfillment. 90% of the people. So if you feel a sense of meaning or fulfillment, then you're really doing quite well compared to most of the population. 87% of people are emotionally disconnected from their workplace. And so I've tried to challenge you. I hope it was in a loving way, but to challenge you to say, God wants you to see that work is a gift and there's an assignment, and He doesn't want you to just check out, although I understand that if it's hard and sometimes you do need to clock out and check out. I understand that. But He doesn't want you to necessarily be emotionally disconnected, because if you view it as an opportunity to reach people, if you viewed it as an open door, think about this. The people that you work with, many of them will never go to church. They'll never be interested in even going to a church or being in a setting like this. And so this is the open door. This is the opportunity for you to let your light shine, for you to plant a seed of the gospel in their heart, for you to pray for somebody, for you to be the light of Christ. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. And so we don't need to be intimidated by work. Instead, we should see it as an opportunity. I heard that a dad told his son this: if you want something worthwhile in life, you have to work for it. Now be quiet, they're about to announce the lottery winners. So we may not always like to work, we'd prefer to win the lottery, but God has put work into place for us. And so I want to submit a couple of things to you today. I want to encourage you to do the work in the spirit realm and then do the work in the natural realm. You do realize that you're more of a spirit being than you are a physical being, but you live in this natural realm. And so if we could understand doing the work in the spirit realm, I think that'll help us do the work in the natural realm. So do the work in the spirit realm. When you go to work and you see it as an opportunity, do the work in the spirit realm. And so I'll say this at the outset: if you feel like you're in a frustrating situation or you're working around some people that you just don't care for, there's more to the problem than people. There's much more to this than somebody that has a different personality than you, somebody that has a different worldview. There's much more to the problem than just people. And let me read to you a couple of verses. This is in Ephesians 6:12, and I've chosen the New Life Version because I think it's quite refreshing. It says, our fight is not with people. If you go to work and there's frustration, it's understandable that you might feel like your fight or your frustration is with people. But you need to realize there's a spirit realm. So our fight is not with people. It's against the leaders and the powers and the spirits of darkness in this world. It is against the demon world that works in the heavens. So when you face frustrations, when you face difficulties at work, realize that the enemy is behind that, that you're not battling against flesh and blood. You're not battling against people. You're battling against spirits that operate behind the scenes and spirits that try to frustrate and try to attack you in various ways. That right there will really help set you free, because then you'll quit being so angry at the person that you're working with, and you'll start seeing, you know what, this is a spiritual battle. And so I want to submit to you, when you go to work, do the work in the spirit. Realize that you're dealing with principalities, you're dealing with spiritual forces, and so take authority over those. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 10:1. He called his 12 disciples. If you're a disciple, say, I'm a disciple. He called his disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. If you took your time reading through the gospel, you'll see how much time Jesus spent on healing the sick and driving out evil spirits, because he knew that this is a spiritual battle. And so you need to know today that Jesus has given you complete authority over demonic spirits. When you go to work, take authority over those evil spirits. Take authority over those demonic spirits and realize that you can change things because of the power that Christ has given you. Listen to Matthew 18, verse 18. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So when you walk into your workplace, you can begin to change the environment by doing the work in the spirit realm. So you bind up evil spirits. You bind up that argumentative spirit. You bind up that evil spirit of perversity, that evil spirit of immorality, that evil spirit that is just really dragging people down. You bind that up so that evil spirit can't operate through people, and instead you loose and release the Spirit of God in that place. And so you release peace, and you release love, and you release joy. You release a positive atmosphere. I don't have time to teach on this verse, but the idea here is that when you bind, you literally tie things up. So you tie up that evil spirit so it cannot operate. And instead, you untie the blessings and the benefits of God's kingdom and His presence and His power and the anointing when you're in that workplace. And so do the job in the spirit realm. Do the work in the spirit realm. Bind up the enemy and loose the blessings of God. So realize that there's more to the problem than just people. You're in the middle of a spiritual battle. But Jesus has given you absolute and complete authority that you can actually change the environment, change the atmosphere by taking authority in the spirit realm. Secondly, I would say this in the spirit realm. Live a quiet and peaceful life. Live a quiet and peaceful life. You can bring peace and calm to your workplace. You don't have to stir things up in a negative way. Just live a quiet and a peaceful life. Listen to this, 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. For some of you, that might be a challenge. Lead a quiet life. To mind your own business. That might be a real challenge to some of you. And to work with your hands. Isn't this a great practical verse? Lead a quiet life, mind your own business, and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. And that's powerful, to just live a quiet, peaceful life and let your light shine And as you do so, people will gain respect because they'll see, wow, this person is a hard worker. This person has good ethics. This person does everything with a great attitude. And so that in and of itself is very, very testimonial. It really touches people. So lead a quiet, lead a peaceful life. I'm not talking about personality here. If you're an extrovert and you enjoy talking to people, that's not what Paul's talking about here. He's just saying overall, have this sense, this demeanor that you're a peaceful person, that when you walk into the room, there's a calmness. And people are drawn to that, and you'll gain their respect. And so for some of you, you might have to really pray into that. For some of you that are already quiet, we'll get to you in a moment. You maybe have to stretch yourself in talking about things. Now, three things I want to share about the quiet and the peaceful life in a work environment. Don't always expect to be appreciated. You know, we all long for that. We crave for that. I mean, if you have a good supervisor, a good boss, then they're going to encourage you. They're going to say, hey, great job. They might point out things that you need to correct and things that you need to work on. They might be pretty tenacious as they're driving you towards success. But really, we need to get beyond this thing where we expect to always be appreciated. And you may not have that kind of boss that is encouraging or knows how to show appreciation. So you got to really get your appreciation from the Lord. You got to really go to the Lord and be encouraged by the Lord. So this is just realistic. Don't always expect to be appreciated. Don't feel like you're entitled, that you have to have this. And if you never get this, then you're not going to succeed. Get your encouragement from the Lord and hear me. Please hear my heart today. Don't live the life of a victim. Live the life of a victor. Don't feel that you're so victimized and you have to be prodded along. Listen, God will encourage you and you can be victorious. So don't always expect to be appreciated. That's not realistic. Get your encouragement from the Lord. Get your encouragement from your church family. Get your encouragement from your immediate family, people that really believe in you. Secondly, when it comes to living a quiet and peaceful life, do your best not to take things personally. Now that is really hard, isn't it? Especially if you have a supervisor or somebody that you're working on a project with, or your boss is pointing out things that they want done and they want it now, or they're pointing out things that you need to improve in. It's very hard to not take that personally. But may God give us the grace to say, you know what, I'm not going to take this personally. I'm using this as an opportunity to minister, to let my light shine. It's not easy to do, but do your best to not take things personally. It'll really help you in the mileage. It'll help you go the long way and be able to run a long time for the glory of God. And then thirdly, when it comes to living a quiet, peaceful life, try not to say too much. Just try not to say too much. If you're going to really just live a quiet, respectful life and work hard and gain the respect of outsiders, try not to say too much. Now, please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying not to speak up for yourself. I'm not saying not to advocate for yourself. But what I am saying is that let's be cautious. Let's be prayerful. Let's ask the Lord about when we speak up and when we say things. And instead, we're saying, you know what, Lord, I want to live a quiet, peaceful life, and I want to gain the respect of my colleagues and my bosses and my supervisors so that I can share the life of Christ. Say amen to that, church. Amen? So number one, realize there's more to the problem than people. Secondly, live a quiet, peaceful life. And then thirdly, I'm going to say this, is that prayer and praise change the atmosphere. It's really true. If you'll pray about things, if you'll praise the Lord, it can actually change the atmosphere. So you bind and you loose. But what you need to realize is as you pray and as you praise the Lord, you can change the atmosphere at your workplace. You can do it because you're there, because you carry the power of the Holy Spirit. You carry the Holy Spirit inside of you. So when you walk into the room, you have to see this, because this is true. When you walk into the room, the environment changes. The atmosphere changes. Why? Because you're there and you have the Holy Spirit. And so how do you activate that? Well, you activate that through prayer and you activate it through praise. it does need to be activated. Sometimes we think, now there is a presence when you're just there, the anointed. But I think that when you activate it through praise and you activate it through worshiping the Lord and you activate it through praying, that it literally changes the atmosphere. And so I want to read a verse to you. And this is when Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, they actually get thrown into prison for preaching the gospel. You know, the Bible says that anyone who wants to live a godly life will be persecuted. And so sometimes there is persecution and they were in prison. And you might be here today and say, well, I feel like my job is prison. I feel like I'm in a prison cell. Well, the prescription then for you is to praise the Lord even though you feel locked up, even though you're in an environment that isn't your favorite environment. If you'll praise the Lord, God will release power. Praising God releases power into your life and into your circumstances, and it literally changes the atmosphere. So in Acts 16, 25 to 26, it says this, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were praying. They were praising the Lord. And look what happened. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. There's something about worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord, whether you're on your way to work or when you get there in your own way, whether it's quiet or maybe you're in a place where you could shout, who knows? But as you praise the Lord, I promise you this, the atmosphere and the environment will begin to change. Wherever you are, if you'll worship the Lord, if you'll praise the Lord, your environment, your atmosphere can change. And you can be the leader instead of being sucked in to whatever environment and atmosphere that you're currently working in. You have the ability, by the power of the Spirit, to change the atmosphere. You're binding, you're loosing, you're doing your work, living respectfully, quiet, working hard, but you are praising the Lord and you're worshiping. And I promise you this, the atmosphere will begin to change. Remember David, and we think of David because he killed Goliath. And one thing we forget is that he actually worked for Saul before he killed Goliath. Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. And there was a servant in Saul's court that said, you know what, I met a shepherd boy. I met a shepherd, a young man. When he worships the Lord, there's incredible peace. And so they went and got David, and David came to the courts of King Saul. And the Bible says that when he would play the harp and he would worship, that Saul would feel calm. There's something about praise that not only drives out evil, but it releases God's presence and peace in your situation. And so David literally changed the court. He literally changed. So if you're working for a demonized boss, you can change the atmosphere. And you can bring calm to the situation through your praise and through your worship. And so when you walk into the room, you change the atmosphere. Listen carefully. You change the atmosphere with your presence and His presence. May I please say that again? You change the environment and the atmosphere with your presence and with the presence of the Holy Spirit, because you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And so through your praise and worship, God's presence begins to be released. Through your presence, His presence is released. So we change the atmosphere with our presence and with the presence of the Holy Spirit. I shared with you last week that I've had over 20 jobs, I think. And it's not that I can't hold down a job. I thought about that afterwards. I thought maybe I should explain. It's not because I can't hold down a job. I started working when I was 12 years old. So we were in the States at the time, and I got a paper route. So that was my first job at 12 years old, to have a paper route. And then we went back to Africa, and I don't think really any of my peers did this, but I was looking for jobs. So two summers I worked for the U.S. Embassy, and then I went to an international school, and so I just went to the guy in charge of maintenance, and I said, hey, can I have a summer job? And he did. So here I was, a high schooler, and I was working with all these Congolese men, and it was a great experience. But I've been working since I was a kid, and then I became a lifeguard. And so I worked as a lifeguard all through high school, and then I started putting my way through college, and I drove a school bus, made pizzas, was a janitor. I delivered pizza. I had so many different jobs. So I don't want you to think it's because I couldn't hold down a job, but I was trying to get through college, and eventually I knew I was called to ministry, and so I was moving toward that, but I was paying the bills as I was moving toward that. And so Sarah and I graduated from college, and we graduated in Southern California, and then we went to Virginia, Virginia Beach, in the Norfolk area, and Sarah went to Regent University, and so she was getting her master's degree, and so I was working hard to help put my wife through graduate school. And so we were youth pastors, but at that church, the church wasn't able to pay me full time. And so I was part time and I had to have other jobs. And so I worked at a Christian bookstore. And then I was a phone counselor. Sarah and I both were phone counselors at CBN. That is a legitimate ministry. CBN, I remember answering phones and I'd get a phone call and either Pat or Ben would get a word of knowledge and they would say, oh yeah, that was me. And then we'd get to pray for them on the phone. That's a legitimate ministry. And then the Lord opened the door. Next thing I knew, I was ministering at the CBN chapel. That was fun. I can't even remember how that door opened, but I think it was someone in our church, but I ministered at the CBN chapel. But as I was working at that bookstore, I worked with somebody and I learned a very powerful, powerful phrase. And so he and I would come in, he was a student as well, and we'd come in and work at this bookstore. And he told me this phrase. He said, I went to church, and the church that I go to, the pastor said to me, we should command our souls to praise the Lord. And so I said, yeah, we should do that. So he and I would be in the bookstore, and I command my soul to praise the Lord. Whether we felt like it or not, I command my soul to praise the Lord. And the atmosphere, you could just feel the anointing as we would worship the Lord. We commanded ourselves. You don't always feel like it, but then you begin to praise the Lord and it changes the atmosphere. So if you'll get a hold of this, that as you praise the Lord, it will change the atmosphere. So I learned that praising can really change the environment and the atmosphere and give you strength. Fast forward many years later, and Sarah and I were traveling around the world and we were in Australia, and I preached in a church that met in a bar. So on Saturday nights, there was a lot of carrying on and drinking. And then the next morning, they used that venue for a church. But praise and worship changed the environment and the atmosphere. Say amen to that. Fast forward a few years later, and I was in Kazakhstan, and the underground church came from Uzbekistan over into the border. We had a conference that was right on the border of Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. And we met in this hotel, and at night, this room was used as a nightclub. I can't even tell you the stuff that was going on. And then we would come in the next morning, open the windows, try to blow out the smoke and everything, and we just praised the Lord. But those were some of the most powerful meetings of ministering to the underground church. Why? Because praise changes the atmosphere. Yeah. If God can do it in a bar in Australia, if he can do it in a nightclub in Kazakhstan, if he can do it in bookstores in Virginia Beach, come on, wherever you're at, as you praise the Lord, God can change the environment because your presence and his presence changes things in the atmosphere. Say amen to that. And so I really, really want to encourage you today, do the work in the spirit realm. Realize there's more to the problem than people. Live a quiet, peaceful life, but then praise and prayer changes the atmosphere. And so you might be in a place where you could be very, very vocal. You may not be, but how many people know you can praise the Lord and not necessarily be shouting hallelujah. You can just praise the Lord and pray and talk to the Lord and you'll change the atmosphere. But you've got to see yourself as being the one who carries the anointed just like David did and change the presence in the courts of King Saul. Wherever you're at, you'll change the atmosphere. Say amen to that. And so do the work in the spirit realm. Now, let's talk about doing the work in the natural realm. So first, you got to think of it in the spirit realm as you take authority in the spirit realm. But then how does that look? How does that manifest in the natural realm? I want to invite you to look at Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. And we're going to read verses 14 and 16, Matthew 5 and 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. Say amen to that. Everyone say this. Say, I'm the light. I'm the light. So you're the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's such a powerful, practical verse. I'm going to invite you to read it out loud with me together. Here we go. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Can you really receive that? That you are shining bright for the Lord? That wherever you're at, you can just let your light shine? You know, you have a very unique and wonderful personality. No one's like you in this world. And so there's a special way that you can shine your light that I can't. Only you can do it. We all have our own way of shining the light. But the idea is that Christ is inside of you. And so let your light shine. You know, when I was in college, I had a great job. I had many jobs in college. But probably the best one was when I would drive a school bus because I'd wake up. I learned a lot in that job, like how to wake up early. That's not easy for a college student. But I was up at 5:30, had to get to work. Do my checkout of my bus, all in the dark. My first pickup was like 7:02. You learn to be on time. It's not 7, it's not 7:10, it was 7:02. So I learned a lot, but I loved being with those kids. It was a great job because I would pick them up in the morning, take them to school, then I would go do my classes, and then I would go pick them up in the afternoon. And then it got really fun because if I got to do a football game, I'd go pick up the kids. If I'd go do a wrestling match on a Saturday, I would take the athletes and spend the whole day there, and I'd just be on the clock doing my homework and watching a game. It was a great job. It was a great job. And so it really reduced. I didn't have to take as many loans out, but I just let my light shine. I love the Lord. I really love the Lord. And so I just wanted my light to shine. So I was always talking to the kids in between shouts of sitting down and being quiet. I was always talking to the kids about the Lord and leading them to Christ, praying with kids to receive the Lord. And my favorite ones, actually, to be honest with you, were the mentally challenged kids. I had so much fun with those kids as I would drive them to school. And I even prayed that they would be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was a lot of fun. But I just let my light shine. And I really want to encourage you, in whatever context you are, just let your light shine and share with people. And so this is really, really important. You know, that bus yard, and maybe some of you guys can relate to this, but there was a lot of gossip at that job. In fact, I never went into the break room because the atmosphere was so toxic and there was so much gossip. And this is where you have to really pray for discernment. It's like, how do I be a light, but how do I stay away? The Bible says that light and darkness don't have anything in common. They can't fellowship with each other. So what's the balance between me not getting sucked into stuff as opposed to saying, okay, now I'm in this situation, I'm going to let my light shine. But the Holy Spirit's going to give you discernment. And so I would let my light shine and talk to the kids, but I felt in my spirit to go to the break room and just hang out for a while. It was a little too toxic. And so I kept myself separate. But do you know, in the end, it actually opened up a door for me to share the gospel. After 3 years, there was an older gentleman, and he was a retired fighter, firefighter. And so he was driving a school bus as well. And he said, yeah, he says, Eric, I noticed you never hang around and talk. And I said, well, I tried to put a spin on it. Well, I'm pretty busy with school and stuff like that. But I was getting ready to quit my job and go on a 6.5-month mission trip through the South Pacific in Asia. And it just opened up this opportunity for me to share the gospel, what was in my heart and what I wanted to do. Just a simple example of how you can discern how much to spend time in a situation, how much to pull back, but always letting your light shine. You know, you might be here today and you say, well, I'm a homemaker. I'm not in a job environment. How do I let my light shine? You have a lot of opportunities wherever you go to let your light shine. But I do this all the time, whether it's the guys that pick up the garbage. I have become good friends with the guys that pick up the garbage. In fact, they will get out of the truck and run up and hug me. That is a true story Because I've taken time to talk to them. I've taken time to pray for them. I've taken time to find out what's going on with their job and with their families. They will get out of the truck, come and hug me. I've prayed with them. You can do that. Our mail lady, for years, she delivered the mail, and I would just tell her how thankful I am, what a great job she's doing. Minister to her. Do you know that then her dad passed away, and she had no one to do her funeral? And she said, "You're a pastor, right?" I said, "Yeah." She said, "Would you do my dad's wedding or funeral?" I said, "Sure, I'll do your dad's funeral." All because I just shared the light of the Lord. Wherever you're at, you can just share the gospel. I've tried to do this with my neighbors and to just let my light shine. So let's say this out loud. I want to let my light shine. And so think about ways that you can share, that you can let your light shine. Secondly, pray for people. Pray for people and pray for situations. I'm going to invite you to go to 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. And we'll read verses 1 to 3. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, or your boss, right? For kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so I really want to encourage you to pray for people and situations. Pray for people you work with. Pray for your supervisor, your boss. Pray for, if you're the supervisor boss, pray for the guys or gals that work under you. Pray for people and then pray for the situations. Because you're there, your company can succeed. Because you're there, you can begin to see prosperity because of the blessing of the Lord on you. So pray for people. Pray for them privately, but then also if the opportunity happens, pray for them in person. And so I often will say to someone, "Hey, I'll pray for you about that." It's amazing when you're working with somebody how people just start opening up their heart and you start getting to know each other. And then all you have to do is say, "Hey, I'll pray for you." And so you can go home and pray. But oftentimes, if you feel the timing's right, you say, "Hey, can I pray for you now?" I have very rarely had anyone turn me down for prayer. Maybe once or twice in my entire life has somebody said, "No, I'm not comfortable with that." But usually people are like, "Yeah, sure." Sometimes they think you're going to do it privately, and then they're surprised that you want to pray for them right there. But you get through that, and you just say a simple prayer and talk to the Lord. So pray for them privately. But if the door opens, pray for them in person. Pray for them right there. What an opportunity for you to share the gospel. You know, when I graduated from college, I was a substitute teacher. And I did that for a whole year, actually. And I was teaching a French class. And I'm fluent in French. And I was teaching a French 4 class. Now, these kids were really good at reading and writing. I am not very good at reading and writing. In fact, I'm almost illiterate because I just grew up speaking French on the streets. And so when I would go into a French 4 class, I would say, "Today is we're practicing." Because I knew they could read and write better than me. So I said, "Today we're just going to talk. We're going to talk." And I'll never forget one class, I was just there, and the kids asked me, said, "Well, how do you speak French?" And so I told them that I grew up in the Congo, and conversation just led from one thing to the other. And they asked me about, you know, what I wanted to do. Did I want to become a teacher? And I said, "No, I feel like God wants me to be in a ministry." And then I started sharing miracles and healings, things that I had seen. And you could just feel the presence of the Lord. I want you to know when you start talking about Jesus, the Holy Spirit backs that up. And you could just feel the presence and the power of the Lord. And so one girl piped up and she goes, "Well, I need a miracle." And I said, "Oh, what's the matter?" And she says, "Well, I have really bad eyesight." And she was wearing glasses. And so I just said to the class, I said, "Hey, do you guys mind if we pray?" Not a single kid was bothered by that. In fact, they were really curious, are they going to see a miracle? And so we prayed, and the presence of the Lord, you could just feel God's love just washing all over this girl. And I told her to take her glasses off, and I wish I could tell you that she was completely healed. I think there was some improvement, but she wasn't completely healed. But just the fact that I got to share the love of the Lord and pray and be bold in a situation like that, I believe in my heart those kids never forgot that. And so whether it's in person, with one person, or whether it's a group of people, but pray for people and pray for situations. So let your light shine. Say that. I want to let my light shine. Secondly, pray for people. Say, I want to pray for people. And thirdly, I'm going to encourage you to sow seed. You just got to sow seed when you're talking to people. And so I want to ask you to go to Mark chapter 4. And we want to talk about sowing seed in people's hearts and in people's lives. So we're going to read this parable. And I think it's important that we read the whole parable, and then I'll make some concluding comments on this. But in Mark chapter 4, I'll start with verse 1. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake, and the crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the other people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up, and some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, and so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And then Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Let me pause right there. I don't have time to really teach on this, but you know what? God wants to know that you're hungry. That's why he spoke in parables. He said, will you come after me? Will you go after the truth? Will you seek me? And so he speaks in parables so that we'll look for the truth hidden in the parable. Verse 13, then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things comes in and chokes the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Now, this is an incredible parable, and he's talking about sharing God's word, sharing the love of God, sharing the gospel. And so let me just make a few comments on this. When you're sharing and talking with people, you have to realize that when you share, some people are going to hear it, but they're not going to receive it. And that's okay. That's okay. Your job is to just share. You share it. They're going to hear it, but they're not going to receive it. But don't think that you didn't succeed because you planted a seed in their heart. Some people will hear it with joy, but trials will keep them away. Have you met anyone like that? You share God's word, but then they start going through a difficult time and trials, and it just keeps them away from the Lord because they're going through such a hard time. Some people hear it, but then worries and money keep them away. The temptation of money and all the worries of life, that keeps them away from the Lord. But then some people hear it and receive and respond and they begin to grow. So what's your job? Will you pray for someone? You sow a seed, you plant a seed in their heart and in their mind, and then you really just invite them. You invite them to grow. You invite them in the process of hearing from the Lord and receiving from the Lord. And so your job, my job, is really to just sow seed, and then we leave the results up to God. Say amen to that. Listen to 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 8 out of the New Living Translation. I planted the seed in your hearts, and Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So you might just be planting the seed in someone's heart, then God's going to bring someone else into their life. And they'll plant another seed. And then he'll bring someone else and they'll pray for him. God is orchestrating this incredible plan to get his love and his redemption to them. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose, and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. And that's wonderful. You might be here today and say, man, I haven't prayed with someone to receive Christ, or it's been a long time since I prayed with someone to receive Christ. Your job is to plant the seed, so whether you're a seed planter or you're the one who waters it, or you get to be the harvester to actually pray for them to receive the Lord, the point is we're all working together. God is orchestrating this together. Your job, my job, is to just plant the seed. Say amen to that. And so you let your light shine, you pray for people and situations, and then you sow seed. You know, when I told you about when I was sub-teaching, I actually enjoyed that. But I did one class, and I always gravitated toward the humanities. And so I did one class, and the class was actually on relationships. And that piqued my interest, and I thought, this is going to be really interesting. And then I looked at the lesson plan, and usually for a sub, they just give you busy work, and you hand it out, and you're really just managing the classroom. But occasionally, you get to teach. And so this particular teacher had a lecture on relationships, and I said, wow, I get to teach on this. And so I get up and I start talking about relationships and how they can have a relationship and have wholesome and integral relationships. And then it got to the point where I just felt led of the Lord, and I told him about purity, living pure. Now, understand, Southern California, public school, and I'm telling these kids that I'm a virgin. And I'm telling these kids I'm saving myself for my wife, and that's going to be the best gift that I can give her. You could have heard a pin drop in that room. And this is a true story. One boy, he finally raised his hand. He goes, this is a true story. He lifts his hand and says, Mr. Lehman, he goes, how is that even possible? How is that even possible? I mean, he just had no world view about that at all. I don't know if I should tell you what I said, but I was young and I was talking to teenagers and I said, well, I'm not a dog in heat. I said, I have a choice, but I've chosen to do it God's way. And so, and it was just an opportunity to share the gospel and to share how the Lord wants us to do things. Now, I believe in my heart that if that was the only time those kids ever got to hear about purity, I thank God for that opportunity. I thank God for that open door. Maybe they would have never gone to church. Maybe there was no one in their circle of life, in their area of influence, that would have ever said that there's an alternative and you can live a pure lifestyle. You can do this in a biblical way. You can believe in biblical marriage. Maybe they never heard that. I viewed it as an opportunity. My brother and sister, would you view these opportunities as situations where you can share the gospel? Where you could say, man, what's my opportunity? Look for those opportunities in the Lord will open those doors for you. I promise this, if you will share the gospel, his presence, his power, he'll back you up when you start talking about Jesus. Can you say amen, church? Amen. And so do the work in the natural realm. Let your light shine. Pray for people and situations, and then sow seed where you can. I conclude with this verse. And this is the way I want us to conclude today, Colossians chapter 4. And I want this to be a real prayer. And I'm going to encourage you to really pray for open doors, pray for opportunities at work. And then we're going to take a few minutes and actually pray for open doors. So listen to Colossians 4, and I'll read to you verses 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. He says, pray for an open door. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Pray for open doors, and then make the most for every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Isn't that a great pericope? And I encourage you, read over that this week. Pray over that and say, Lord, I want to pray for open doors and every opportunity I can. Let me share the gospel. And then let my words, my conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that I can answer anyone who's hungry. for the gospel. Can you say amen, church? Praise the Lord. In closing, I'm going to ask Justin to come up here and just share a little testimony. And so Justin and Angie oversee our college and career, our powerhouse ministry, but Justin is an architect by trade. Justin, would you share the opportunity, this most recent opportunity of what the Lord has
done? Yeah, so my wife and I own an architecture firm in Tampa, and my employees know that we're believers, but I was praying about, and I had someone challenge me too, like, what more can you do to bring ministry into the workplace? And I thought, well, maybe I'll do some kind of Bible study in my office, have a couple people in over lunch or something. And I'm thinking like just a few people, right? And so I was at a holiday networking event last, it was almost a year ago now. And I mentioned to a guy, I didn't even know he was a believer. We just started talking about faith. He's a new believer, so he's like amped up and ready to go, right? So I'm like, yeah, I was thinking about doing maybe a little Bible study or something in my office. Like, dude, yeah, let me know if you do that. Let's do this. I'm like, okay, I'll let you know. And we had just started Powerhouse that beginning of this year, right, January. So he calls me up beginning of January. Hey, are you starting the Bible study? I'm like, well, give me a minute. I'm trying to get, you know, got a lot going on right now. So I'm at another event, and, you know, he wanted to be, you know, a little down low. Hey, are you doing the thing? Are we doing the thing? When are we doing the thing? I'm like, oh, we will. Okay. And then he called me two or three more times. And finally, the last time he called me up, he said, listen, I want to do this thing. I love your vision. I want to come help. Like, don't just do it all on your own. So he got a few people together. He's talking to people already. And so we got it together. We started a Bible study as a group. There's a core of five of us that started it. And we started it with a vision of, instead of there being like a Christian group that's just for men, just for women, just for contractors, just for whatever, it's open to everybody. And in fact, I say, if you can raise your hand and say, I hate God, I want to see you there. Let's have a conversation. You're Buddhist, you're whatever, come, let's have a conversation. And so we started it up, just word of mouth. First, we met in May, and just talking to people, we were at Encore Bank's headquarters down on Rocky Point in Tampa in their conference room. There was 11 of us that started it. And we just came together. We called it Crossroad Connections, the intersection of business and faith. And so we just started having more conversations and put it on LinkedIn, which is like the professional Facebook, right? And people started seeing it. And then we met once a month. The next month, we filled the conference table and brought chairs in and lined the room. And well, we just have some fellowship. And then we share a message, and like a 15, 20-minute message. And then we open discussion about whatever with it, and pray for each other at the end, pray for our companies, pray for our economy, pray for our city. And it's growing. I mean, we've had at most 34 people now. We had to change locations every month because we kept growing and outgrew the previous spot. And so, and it's been at different places and so many different people there. We've got contractors, we've got designers, we've got engineers, we've got presidents of banks and vice presidents of banks, and just anybody that wants to come. And I've had developers who saw it online email me on the side, hey, are you doing this thing? Yeah, I'm doing, oh, can I come? Yeah, you can come. I'll be at other networking events, everyone else hanging around the bar with drinks in hand. Hey, I heard about this new networking thing. Are you part of this? Yeah, let me tell you about it. And it's just been really awesome to see the open doors to share things and see people that, and it's not just a club, right? I mean, people leave with tears in their eyes, and we had one salvation, and I had a guy who responded to my company just Thanksgiving note that reached out on the side and just said, I just want to tell you how thankful I am that we met, that you started this group, and it's just meant so much to me. And it was just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Praise the Lord. So, let's celebrate that. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. And so ask the Lord what you could do. Whether it's one-on-one or in a group setting like that, but how can you minister? Let's pray for open doors and opportunities. I just think that's absolutely awesome. So let's stand to our feet. And